Hello, you're listening to a special fourth premium episode in March of Blocked and Reported. This is a preview of it. You're going to hear us talk about Candace Owens, a superstar conservative pundit who has gotten into some little dicey situation with my people, the Jews. She's being accused of anti-Semitism. Is it warranted? Katie and I will discuss. We're also going to talk about where the hell this pretty crazy person came from, what it tells us about the current media ecosystem, and on and on and on. Hope you enjoy the preview, but if you want to hear the whole thing, go to blockedreporter.org. $5 a month gets you 3 other premium episodes this month, 3 premium episodes most months, access to our incredible community, commenting, all that jazz. Thank you. Enjoy the preview.
Jesse, we are meeting here today for a special 4th premium episode this month. Can you believe it? 4 primos.
That's crazy. I mean, it's just the value our subscribers get is off the charts.
It really is. Although, I will say, I think last month we had 6 primos. So we're actually doing worse.
Well, wasn't one of them like, because one of us, I forget, did one of us die or something? Something happened. It was like not normal.
Unfortunately.
Katie, do you want to talk about that?
No. And this is not the Gamergate follow-up that we mentioned in the last Primo episode, although...
It's not really... Right. There's multiple layers of confusion.
Yes.
The second Gamergate episode is Sweet Baby, plus I might respond to some feedback from the Gamergate episode if I feel like it. This episode... both is and isn't
right.
A Gamergate episode?
Yes.
Is that clear enough?
So the Sweet Baby Gamergate 2 episode will be coming soon in the future, in April. But in the meantime, we just couldn't resist getting together for a special fourth premiere to discuss someone who was also involved in Gamergate. So this is like Gamergate 1.5 episode.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So the person we're going to be talking about today is Candace Owens. We're going to get to the latest Candace Owens drama soon. But Jesse, she's an old personal friend of yours, right? Didn't you write her, ghostwrite her biography?
Yeah. Yeah. Candace and I are tight.
Okay. So we have discussed her on the podcast before, but please refresh us. You're going to give us the backstory. What is her backstory?
Yeah. Candace Owens is sort of an amazing figure if you're curious about the trajectory of the modern internet. I do believe we discussed some of this on the podcast before, but it was a while ago. It deserves a refresher because of what is to come in sort of your half of the episode. So back in 2016, I was at New York Magazine. I wrote an article about this young woman named Candace Owens for the website. At the time, she was the 26-year-old founder of a kickstarted social media startup company called Social Autopsy. That's Social Autopsy. What do you think of that name, Katie?
You know, if I were going to invest in a company, I would definitely want the word autopsy in that
people,
company.
People, when you think of like words that will get people to pull out their wallets and really embrace life,
autopsy.
Here's a bit from the top of my article. Social Autopsy launched its Kickstarter campaign on April 12th. This was, again, 2016, billing itself as a way to catalog the abuses of trolls and cyberbullies. Its founder is Candace Owens, a 26-year-old woman with a background in finance who has painful firsthand experience with bullying. When she was in high school in Stamford, Connecticut, a classmate and former friend left racist death threats on her phone, sparking a local scandal that came to ensnare the mayor and his son, the latter of whom was in a car with the perpetrator at the time he threatened Owens. So this whole thing starts with this young woman who was subjected to bullying, and she wants to start Social Autopsy, again, Social Autopsy, which is a way to fight bullying.
Okay, so what was this? Was it an app, social network? How was this? How did she envision this genius idea working?
Yeah, let me read a few more sentences from this brilliant article by this Jesse Single guy. This is a direct quote from the promotional video, which is still up. We'll include a link to it. Quote, "We attach people's words to their places of employment, and anybody in the entire world can search for them. What we are doing is figuratively lifting the masks up so nobody can hide behind, you know, Twitter handles or privatized profiles. It's all real and it's all researchable. You can still say whatever you want to say on social media, but you have to be willing to stand up by your words. Stand up by your words." She talks in a weird way. According to her Kickstarter, the company was seeking $75,000 in funding and hoped to launch with 150,000 profiles. So these are apparently the profiles of trolls that connect online handles to people's like places of employment, except I say this with question marks because the whole video was very unclear on how any of this would work.
She invented cancel culture.
It turns out Candace Owens invented cancel culture. If you go to the Wikipedia page, cancel culture, founded 2016, Candace Owens.
I mean, this really is an amazing idea. And I wonder if she had any moment of being like, What could go wrong?
Katie,
no one's going to weaponize this against their enemies.
As surely you know by now, thinking things through is not Candace Owens' strong suit.
Yeah.
There were, looking into it at the time, there didn't appear to be any safeguards in place. So, you know, on the other hand, this was the idea of a 26-year-old who was, as it turned out, very, very clueless about the internet until she wasn't. We'll get to that. This only really blew up because of this random controversy that Candace Owens found herself embroiled in. But it did blow up. A lot of people were...
Wait, did she get funding?
I don't think she got close to the $75,000, but don't quote me on that. What happened was, as soon as this blew up, it was this rare moment of unity between Gamergaters and anti-Gamergaters because everyone said, what the hell, in unison. Like, everyone thought this was a bad idea. And as is always the case when someone becomes the social media character of the day, some people appear to have taken it too far. Candace Owens, who had never before been in like a national level spotlight other than that brief local bullying incident, apparently got death and rape threats. And as shocking as this will be, given the internet's usual level of tolerance, many of those were racist because she is black.
So I wonder if after she got all these threats, she was like, we need to get on this site now. Stat, do it.
This could have been prevented.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... from Candace Owens' point of view, suddenly she's at the bottom of this massive pylon, because that's how the internet works. Like, you're a nobody, and then everyone hates you, and it can feel very overwhelming.
And it can change your life. It can change your perspective on many things.
Yes, it can, especially if you have certain pre-existing personality tendencies. And Candace Owens does. She is a very interesting person, and this experience led her down this conspiratorial rabbit hole. It all started with this phone conversation Candace Owens had with Zoe Quinn. Katie, remind everyone from the last episode who Zoe Quinn is, if you were paying attention.
Zoe Quinn was the ex-girlfriend of a guy whose name I've already forgotten. What was it?
Aaron Gonji.
Aaron Gonji, who was a...
It sounds like an AI-generated name.
It does. Was he a, was he a game developer or just a gamer?
He definitely has gamer energy. I'm actually not sure we ever found out what he did, but he was jilted by Zoe Quinn, is the point.
He was jilted by Zoe Quinn. He wrote this 8,000-word blog post that, unfortunately...
Say the phrase.
It included the words, cum collage.
Sorry, Katie, there were audio issues. Could you say that again?
I'm not saying it again. And this was the incident, the precipitating incident for what would become Gamergate.
That was good. Because often when I'm talking, I feel like you're just like texting or playing Tetris or whatever, but I feel like you paid attention to my last one. Yeah.
You know, I'm not actually playing Tetris because I don't have that on my phone. I play a game called Woodblock, and you just move wood blocks around. It's very fun.
You told me about Woodblock. I'm going to try that, test it out. Is it addictive?
Oh, very.
Okay. So basically, Zoe Quinn, who at the time is seen as sort of an anti-harassment figure because she was harassed and she spoke out against harassment, she's one of the many people who see this social autopsy thing and she's like, what the hell? She actually reached out to Candace Owens to express those concerns. Let me just read a few more things just because I already have it down on paper. Shortly after Quinn initiated email contact, that's with Owens, the two women were on the phone. It didn't go well. Owens said she found Quinn quote-unquote pompous and that she didn't think Quinn's concerns, which varied from the potential of children getting doxxed by social autopsy to the threat she thought Gamergate posed to Owens herself, were well-founded. Quinn, Owens also told me, said she was calling on behalf of a group of anti-bullying organizations but wouldn't say which ones. Things got increasingly heated, and then Quinn broke into tears and said something like, I don't think you understand. This is going to ruin everything. Owens said she found it odd and suspicious that Quinn started crying, especially given that she was calling as a representative of various organizations. After they got off the phone, the two had a
white tears.
White tears. Yeah, that wasn't a phrase yet. It should have been. After they got off the phone, the two had a brief email correspondence, which culminated, Owen said, in Quinn asking her not to contact her again. Then, parenthetical, in a DM conversation, Quinn acknowledged she had teared up, but denied saying anything that Owens could have interpreted as this is going to ruin everything. She also denied having claimed to be speaking for anyone other than herself. So, Owens takes this line she thinks she hears, this is going to ruin everything. She interprets it as follows. I, Candace Owens, have come up with this amazing technology to fight bullying. Zoe Quinn is an online bully, and my site is going to ruin her bullying. So that's what Quinn means by this is going to ruin everything. Can you follow that?
No.
I know. So this is very, like, it's conspiratorial reasoning. Candace Owens thinks she made this revolutionary product that will end online bullying, even though the specifics are very vague and it seems very abusable. She thinks Zoe Quinn thinks that her nefarious efforts to bully people, I should say they, she's now a they, their nefarious efforts to bully people will be undone by social autopsy. This conspiratorial mindset is cemented by the fact that, as Candace Owens tells it, not long after getting off the phone with Zoe Quinn, Candace starts receiving this wave of online harassment. Mm. And so she goes, aha, Zoe Quinn is the cause of that harassment.
Mm-hmm. Zoe Quinn gamergated her.
Zoe Quinn gamergated her. I'm not sure this needs spelling out, but Katie, what are some problems with this theory?
Well, I mean, does she have any evidence to back this up? Or, I mean, it could have been coincidental. Could have been.
Oh, Katie.
I mean,
oh,
Katie. I don't think it's totally inconceivable that Zoe Quinn might have unleashed a wave of bullying on Candace Owens, but unless there's some, unlike, do we have some tweets? Did she publicly announce her conversation? Did she say Candace Owens made me cry?
No, I mean, she had tweeted about it, but this whole thing, like, I believe 4chan and their infamous Polbor, P-O-L, which is like where the worst racists or people pretending to be racist hang out on on 4chan. Mm-hmm. They had noticed Candace Owens in social autopsy. Kiwi Farms had noticed it. There are all sorts of reasons why she became the character of the day and received this wave of harassment. And Zoe Quinn was not the reason, whatever you think about Zoe Quinn.
You know what I find interesting? So Candace Owens, I listened to her on The Breakfast Club this week. When she talks about her origin story, she doesn't talk about this incident at all.
The one time I heard her talk about it, it was like, she mentioned 9/11. What version did you hear?
The version that her origin story. So they asked her about the bullying, not related to Zoe Quinn or this social autopsy. They asked her about the bullying she experienced in high school. So there was this became a story because there was a lawsuit. She schooled. I can't remember if it was the school district or the individual. She got this wave of racist harassment from her peers. So this did become a story. And she said that she was basically like a liberal until she made it sound almost like until Trump, like she heard Trump giving some speech and then she read or she saw the media coverage of it, which misrepresented it. And she made it sound in the Breakfast Club interview as though that was her like awakening.
Yeah. And I'm going to get to that. I think there's obviously a Trump connection here. There always is. But this, I think, had a big impact on her because I just think like the first time you get sort of a big public shaming, it's a little bit traumatic, right?
Oh, totally. Totally. And especially if you think it's coming from one political side, like in her case, if she thought that this was connected to Zoe Quinn, so liberals, someone like Candace Owen, would that make you change your politics? I can absolutely fucking see that.
Yeah. And I think that's a version of what happened. Now, we should say, like, she shared with me screenshots of the abuse she was getting, and it was... I'm going to read this. I think at this point, we've been so inured to the worst stuff on the internet, this won't even come across as shocking, but imagine you're a 26-year-old who's already been through some shit, but this is the first time random strangers are saying stuff like this to you. This is from Michael, who seems like a good guy. He has his profile photo is some sort of, looks like a grizzly bear. Fuck you, you commie dumb bitch, Illuminate. I guess that's supposed to be Illuminati. Ho, cunt face, you are cancer and your stupid Kickstarter ruins my heart on. You are stopping bullying by bullying stupid teenagers like me from getting work. You are the real bully, you stupid coon lord.
Well, I mean, so in a case like Michael, like, he's probably not a liberal.
Well, whatever. He's just some, bitch. Right. It's like, it's not even.
He's a troll.
Yeah. So I think basically what happened was she's in this position that no one would want to be in, and you shouldn't wish on your worst enemy, of being harassed for the first time online. It's very jarring. But I think what happened was that, so Owens, who is a pretty credulous and conspiratorial person, finds herself in that spotlight. Almost everyone she's hearing from is furious at her, but she's also getting these more sympathetic notes from a group of people that she should look into this Gamergate thing. Zoe Quinn's bad. These other figures are bad. I bet a subset of that, my theory at least, has always been that a subset of that came from trolls who are just in it for the lulz and are trying to like rile up the situation. Again, Kiwi Farms and 4chan were both keeping a close eye on that. And I think they were sort of whispering to her, like, this harassment you're receiving is because of Zoe Quinn.
Okay, so you think the trolls were basically manipulating her and stoking her paranoia?
Yeah, and I think she took their words to heart because she's a credulous person and she wasn't really experienced in the ways of the internet. She didn't even use like the right phrasing in her video for the Kickstarter. Like, she didn't know anything about the internet. And I think she promptly convinced herself that she was being harassed not because the internet had found out about her terrible idea, but because this cabal of women working behind the scenes, among them Zoe Quinn, was ganging up to ruin her brilliant idea. Last paragraph of my article I'll read about. This just shows like her descent into this really, frankly, crazy mindset. By the time I spoke with her on Saturday night, Owens had convinced herself that it was Quinn sending her at least some of those harassing notes. For one thing, she found the fake handles suspicious. Gaming was, quote, an industry and a community that I had, prior to talking to Zoe Quinn, no idea about. They were not on our radar, end quote. It also seemed a little too pat that Quinn had warned her there would be a wave of harassment, and then, voila, there was a wave of harassment, especially given that the Kickstarter had been operating for the better part of a day with nary a critique from her haters. Blah, blah, blah. So
Wait.
I didn't mean to do it that way. Okay, fine. Okay. I pressed Owens on this. Well, the reason I was going to stop because we need to explain that one of the messages she'd received said N-word. I'm not going to.
It did not say N-word.
It said the word. Everyone knows the word I'm talking about. I pressed Owens on this. She really thought Quinn sent her the N-word note and the other over-the-top hateful ones. Quote, she sent or knew who sent them. Owens responded, 100% undeniable. So she's saying with 100% certainty that Candace Owens sent or knew who sent an email saying N-word.
I just want to point out here that Jesse typed that word with his fingers 3 times.
No, I copied and pasted it. It's not the same.
You can't be infected by it. You went to an article written by Roland Fryer. You copied it, you pasted it, and put it in your New York magazine.
I did type it. I typed it in 2016 when you were still allowed to type
it. I just want to point that out, that this was in 2016 in New York magazine, in this article written not one but 3 times. Things have changed.
Well, the worst part is a year later I was on this tour with high school students in Peru and I tried to explain this incident to you and I got a lot of trouble. That's why I no longer work at New York magazine. This sentence her belief that Quinn was involved, quote, seems to hinge almost entirely on the facts that the abusive emails came in after she spoke with Quinn and that both Quinn and some of the notes mentioned gamers. So of course, a much more likely explanation is that just because Candace Owens hadn't heard of a pre-existing controversy involving gamers doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But Owens is just not a level-headed person. She often jumps to conclusions and conspiracies. And I do think she's pretty narcissistic, and it was sort of difficult for her to land on reality because reality was a mix of both the internet is a fucked up dark place and I'm being bullied, but also my idea sort of sucked and the critiques of it were fundamentally valid.
Okay, so how does this social autopsy, how does this wrap up? I'm assuming social autopsy is not available in the App Store right now.
No, it's actually a great product. It unmasked all the trolls. This whole thing...
we should start running ads for them.
This whole thing culminated in Owens having this like pretty public meltdown, which unfortunately occurred from the social autopsy handle, except the handle is social coroner, even worse word.
Oh no.
So she's tweeting all this conspiratorial shit, like, too obvious, ladies, too obvious. As if either of you possess the self-control to actually block me. She puts blocked in quotes, which shows she knows the internet.
Yeah.
You are on the sidelines waiting. And ladies here, I think, is Zoe Quinn and Randy Lee Harper, another anti-Gamergate figure. Another tweet. Randy and Zoe, stop sending your clowns to try to scare us with legal hell threats. If you're going to serve us, do it already. And finally, everyone pay attention to the mentions. They're literally exposing themselves in the mentions. We can trace this all back to the origins.
So she really thinks that this is coming from these two women.
Yeah, that is that, plus just not understanding anything about the internet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wrote my article. She launched a petition calling me an unethical journalist on, I think, change.org. Let's see if that's still up.
How many change.org petitions have there been about you?
Let's see here. Yeah. New York Magazine's Jesse Singel commits fraud. Article in question should be recalled.
Dude, you are her Joker, or you turned her into the Joker, perhaps. Maybe you are the reason that she has such sympathy for Donald Trump, because both she and him have been victims of media fraud.
What's amazing, change.org made it really easy to harass people, because below this crazy petition, it lists decision makers, including these various staffers at New York Magazine, like awaiting response. It says 2,896 days since petition creation, and they still haven't responded. So Yeah, she launched this petition. She also emailed me and my editor-in-chief, Adam Moss, saying that I was making her feel unsafe by reading and reporting on her public tweets.
Got ahead of her time.
In many ways. She also said she had spoken to women who revealed I had, quote, a history with women going back to your college days.
You have no history with women in college.
I was going to say, jokes on her because I barely talked to women in college. She also said this, again, this is in an email to my boss. I do not have a prior relationship with you, and because so many journalists and women find you to be a predator, I am asking you to leave me alone. You need to draw a line with your obsession with me. Please let me know why if you feel you can't do that, or if you feel I should join the other women before me who were forced to get the police involved.
Jesse, are you sure she's not a trans activist?
It's the same
this
shit.
This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. She and Brianna Wu are the same person.
Join the other women before me who were forced to get the police involved.
Wow.
So I obviously found that alarming, and I just think it speaks to Candace Owens. Like, I obviously wasn't in a position to do anything about it because I was still a staffer there, but writing an email to someone's boss in which you claim multiple women have called the cops on them does put you, like, in defamation-adjacent territory. It's just a remarkably reckless, impulsive thing to do, and I think that's who Candace Owens is. She also recorded our call from when I interviewed her, which I recorded with her permission. She threatened to post it. I said, go ahead. Then she didn't post it. So again, very similar to Brianna Wu, right?
She really is ahead of her time in so many ways.
She's the black Brianna Wu.
If she had waited, like if this had happened like a year later during Me Too, all she would have had to, she could have just tweeted this email to your boss and people would have taken it seriously.
I would have been executed on the spot. That would
believe women.
So yeah, she just came across as a really, really crazy person. Above and beyond the unpleasant experiences of first being the victim of a harassment, campaign, and then my article made her look bad. It was negative publicity. I don't deny that, but that's what journalists do sometimes. But beyond all that, she just came across as like really just erratic. Luckily, after this controversy died down, she was never heard from again, and that concludes our episode about Candace Owens.
Jesse.
Who's Joey? Wait, are you podcasting with someone else and you just called out their name during the act?
Jesse.
Oh, Joey.
You are the reason that she hates not just Jews, but the media. You did this. This is you.
As it turns out, Katie, conservatives were willing to overlook her shortcomings, such as being an unstable and conspiratorial whack job, because she's also good on camera. She's photogenic. She does speak well. Being black doesn't hurt. In her own blacky way, she's a compelling speaker. So despite the fact that anyone who spends 15 minutes with her on the phone, as I did, will come to the conclusion that this woman should not be anywhere near a camera or a microphone, I do think conservatives saw dollar signs. And she became something of a star. I mean, not something of a star. She's a very big star. She hitched herself to the Trump wagon. She got the very important endorsement of the artist formerly known as Kanye West. And in 2020, Ben Shapiro, who left... the irony here is, and I wrote an article about this too, he left Breitbart in part because he thought Breitbart was drifting in a conspiratorial anti-Semitic direction. Ben Shapiro hired Candace Owens to the Daily Wire, which only helped her grow her profile. And as of today, her podcast YouTube page has 3.1 million subscribers. She's an anti-vaxxer. She holds and spreads all sorts of other conspiracy beliefs. She's just really, really out there. Katie, before I hand this story off to you, will you just read this, describe this image I pasted into the chat?
This is a screenshot from her YouTube page, and there's a video.
A video. It's a teaser image for a video. Yeah.
And it's her, and then a picture of Anna Kasparian, Kanye West, and the title is, "Why Does Everyone Think I Am Going to Be Killed?" 982,000 views.
Why does everybody think I'm going to be killed? And she has this skeptical look on her face. It's like, you guys better not try to kill me. That would be super uncool.
Yes. Okay. So the reason we are doing this special broadcast is because Candace Owens was recently fired from the Daily Wire.
So was she actually fired? Like, actually?
Okay, actually, no, she wasn't. She was not technically fired. Rather, they came to an agreement to part ways, whatever that means. But I don't think there's much doubt that this was not an
amicable. So sort of a two-state solution. They're each going to be independent
entities. Independent, very independent. But this was not an amicable breakup. And the narrative that is spread, in part because it's just assumed, in part because of her past behavior, and in part because the Daily Wire is spreading this narrative, is that Candace Owens was forced out because she's anti-Semitic. And they do have some material to back that up.
Okay, so what do they got? Show me the receipts.
Okay, I looked for the most anti-Semitic thing Candace Owens has said or done, and I didn't
find... I went on the internet, and I was curious if I would find anti-Semitic stuff.
Well, I didn't find that she, like, defaced a synagogue or served cheeseburgers at a Shabbat dinner or anything like that, but there is some circumcised evidence. Mm-hmm. So, for one, as you mentioned, she's friends with and has defended Kanye West and his very anti-Semitic statements. Kanye is also crazy. That's probably worth noting. But Candace herself has said some shit that does to me blur the line between completely legitimate criticism of Israel and American support of Israeli policy and anti-Semitism. But Jesse, as a Goyim, I don't think it's my job to decide whether or not someone is anti-Semitic. So I would like to outsource this job to you. I'm going to tell you the things that she said that are most frequently used to prove her anti-Semitism, and I'd like you to play Judge Judea for me.
Sure. I'm glad. I think I'm the best person. That's it. That's all you get. Hope you enjoyed the preview. Go to blockedreporter.org if you want to hear the rest.